Katrina, good afternoon. You're adamant, you were told, that the bill for your divorce would be $2,500.
I went to my solicitor.
Are you on if you're on speakerphone, kill it there, would you?
Sorry, I'm just in the hallway.
Okay.
I went to my solicitor about an uncontested divorce. And we went through everything, what was going to happen. And he quoted me then between $2,000 and $2,500.
And does that include everything?
That was, well, to me it included everything. You know, he never said that there was any extras or any possibility of extras. I went ahead, I got a loan out for this divorce, and we proceeded as normal. We went to court and the judge ruled on the divorce, and I got my final bill, which was almost $6,000.
And was it, okay, as quickly, did anything, okay, you say there was no children, it was uncontested, but was there a ban, was there court cases where some people didn't turn up?
There was. Now, he, in order to get the case onto the judge's list, you have to go down to the court and present the papers. And there was one time when my ex-husband's solicitor didn't show up. So we had to go down again with a letter from him saying that he's uncontested. Please proceed. So that was the only time that there was kind of a blip, if you could say. But as far as I'm concerned, from the moment I got my quote to the time of my divorce, my case never changed. You know, me and my ex-husband, we were on good terms.
Okay, so when you said, hang on a minute, how did my solicitor's fee for a divorce jump from $2,500 at the out? You said, you told me originally, the solicitor told you between two and two and a half. How did it jump from two and a half up to 6,000?
I contested this with him. He said that was the fee and that there was outlays and council fees. You know, I have a Section 68, which the solicitor must give every client.
Okay.
And in it, it's a clause that says, should there be any additional fees, that he has to tell me in writing. You know, obviously, you have to kind of get the go-ahead, which he never did. I never received anything in writing to say that my bill was going up at any stage. You know, I would have put a stop to it because I can't afford €6,000.
And the itemized bill, did you get an itemized bill at the end?
I got an itemized bill when I contested the price. He sent me an itemized bill. So he has down, you know, any time he received an email from me, any time he sent an email, you know, I had to chase him a lot to see how it was progressing. And he charged me for every time I sent an email by the looks of it.
So you then went to the Law Society?
I did. I thought it was highly unfair. You know, a builder wouldn't do it, you know, putting a quote out there and then charging something completely different. So I went to the Law Society and we went back and forth for a good few months. And at the end of the day, the Law Society just said, it's a reasonable price. You know, that's not my complaint. Yes, I can't afford €6,000, but my complaint is, how can he get away with quoting something and then charging completely out of the blue something completely different and expect somebody to pay it? Like, I haven't got that money.
And what did the Law Society say?
Nothing. The solicitor said that he would knock €1,000 off it, and the Law Society pretty much said that they would accept that. You know, even though it's gone down to 5,000, I still can't afford that. I have the 2,500 that I got alone.
Katrina, I know divorce is very traumatic, but you didn't happen to shop around. Well, what's the point in shopping around if you're told one figure and you the final figure is more than double it?
I know the DIY divorces are a lot cheaper, but I'm not a solicitor. You know, I don't have a degree. I wouldn't understand the.
I know people are worried. Yeah, and I'm sure the Law Society would tell you not to go near those DIY divorces.
Yeah, exactly. Get a professional.
They wouldn't say that directly, but they say, oh, you have to be very careful and such an important thing. And
exactly.
Law Society, when you contacted them, did they say, can we meet you or come up and talk to you or?
No, it's all just done via written correspondence.
Okay. And did they give you a written reply?
They did, yeah. I have written replies. I have letters from them, but, you know, it just basically states that they think it's a reasonable price.
Okay.
But, like, they didn't even address the complaint that he didn't tell me. Like, he just sprung this figure on me, you know.
Okay, does the taxing master come into it? I don't know. But you're at your wit's end. What are you going to do? Where are you going to get the $6,000?
I honestly don't know. Like, I have the $2,500 that I originally got the loan out of. I have that, but as for the rest, I live from paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. You know, I don't have anything extra. I don't have it. So I don't. I honestly don't know what I'll do.
Okay, we'll try again. We tried to get the solicitor to come on.
Yeah.
But he wasn't available at this stage. So the bill started at 2.5, went up to 6, and is now down to 4,872. But still, you see no reason why it went beyond 2.5.
I just don't think it's fair. Like, if you were getting an extension done on the house, quoted you something, put up the extension, and then tried to charge you something else, you wouldn't pay it, you know. Okay. Without prior agreement.
Yeah, but have you asked any, insofar as you know, anyone else's divorce, what is the going rate? What an awful way to put it.
It's completely different. It is completely different. I have my future brother-in-law, his divorce was a lot cheaper than mine, and he has kids and all included in it. So it really depends from solicitor to solicitor. I don't think there is a set price.
And would you think of going to a new solicitor to take on your old solicitor to contest it? No.
If I had the money, I would. One
solicitor, would one solicitor take on another solicitor? Okay, Katrina, thanks indeed. We'll try and find out more. 51551. Katrina, Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It's we began this time last Monday, the calls. Probably the greatest equality issue outstanding in the country at the moment, from what we heard all last week, is unbelievably women can be disenfranchised, kept out of the will, especially on farms, just because they are women. No other reason, just because they are women. What's your own story, Helen, and it resonates today?
Yeah, the story resonated with me because it happened to me 40 years ago when my father died young and the farm was left to my younger brother. And when I was listening to your program last week, and there was a woman on Friday, I think she was a solicitor, and
Aisling
she was
Meehan,
pointing
good.
To the fact that, you know, it is changing. But only last year, I mean, at the time and since then, in the rural community that I grew up in, almost, I would say every farm was left to the eldest son or to a son. Even if he was a roaring alcoholic or even if he was not interested in the farm or anything like that. So, but it was accepted as the norm. I mean, you're back in the 70s. We hadn't had the Employment Equality Act. We hadn't had the marriage bar was still in place and things like that. So it was a very different society. And it just struck me, listening to your program, that whatever about laws, I think the social norm hasn't changed. In other words, the view that the best person to leave a farm to is a son, because my best friend, her family farm was left to her brother only a year ago, and even though there were plenty of girls in the family, they got the china cups and the string of pearls, you know, and the boys got the house and the land. And
and the only, but this is the key, the only reason those women were left out was because they are daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the only reason. There was nothing in the will saying, you've no interest in the farm, you let me down, I didn't talk to you for years, you're incompetent, you're drinking.
No, in fact, it would be the opposite in this case, because they would have shown, you know, much higher levels of even care to the surviving parent and so on while they were going through a long illness. So merit, you know, there's no merit really, no meritorious criteria used, if you like. It's simply gender. That's the only criterion that's used.
But the state gives a significant tax incentive in the inheritance of farms. So why doesn't the state say, why does the state facilitate this perpetuation of inequality?
That's a good question to ask. I think myself that society, like the state follows society, you know, the people that we elect into government, we elect them in order to either maintain some status quo or else to change it. And I don't see really a lot of evidence that that people, including farm wives, it's not men alone that exclude their daughters.
It's the mothers.
Women, mothers and aunts and sisters are very complicit in this this. It's a norm. It's a social norm, and it will take a good bit of effort to change it. And it struck me when I was talking to your researcher earlier that it maybe doesn't just apply to farms. It applies in a lot of businesses. And you're much more likely to see Billy Murphy and Sons Limited over a door than you are Billy Murphy and Daughters, you know. You do see it occasionally, and when you do, you sort of do a double take because it's so rare to see that. But certainly within farming, it's very much accepted that that the best person to leave the farm to, whether or not he has an interest in it or whether or not he's very capable of taking it much further, whether or not even he has family himself that could end up it being passed on to. Because I know in my own case, a big factor was to keep the family name attached to the land. You know,
I understand that, but that's easy.
I'm not justifying it.
That's easily done in this day and age.
Absolutely.
As is easily done is a formula to come up with an equal division of whatever is available in the farm, so that, as you say yourself, the daughters all the time just don't get the pearls and the china delf.
Yes, no question. I agree with you totally. It's unjust. You know, it's unjust. The system that's in place. And, you know, even for me to speak about it on national radio, like, it took a little bit of reflection, because you can be seen sometimes as like, by highlighting these things, you know, well, she's just bitter because she didn't get it. That's not the case.
But you're almost like, given that this hasn't been talked about, you're almost like a whistleblower.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, I know that a lot of women, they see it. They call it, and they go on. They get on with their lives, and they deal with it. And you know, you could argue that in my own case, that I had a much better life by not inheriting, you know, and all of that. But it's someone has to say it, you know. Somebody has to call it for what it is, and it's blatant. It's very blatant discrimination, really. And I think the state. Yeah, maybe the state has a role. The state has a role, but I think society itself hasn't even begun to question this. With a few notable exceptions, there are exceptions of where women have been left farms, but I know of so many cases where, where men have gotten them. As I said, men who had no interest, who had shown no interest in the land, they didn't get it on merit. They got it because they were men, and they got it over the heads of maybe more deserving siblings. And in the case of my friends, it would have been the daughters who provided the highest level of care, you know, and attention, but they didn't get rewarded financially for that.
Okay. Helen, thanks indeed. 51551 Joe at RTE.ie.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
DIVORCE. Dave, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How are you?
You got divorced. The original bill?
The original bill, I got my divorce 2008. The original bill, when I contracted the solicitors, well, I was quoted 2,000 plus approximately 2,000 for barrister's fees. So the divorce went through. Oh, in the meantime, I got an update about 6 months later, bringing up the solicitor's fees, he advised it to be an increase of 500 to 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Have all this in writing.
Good man.
Went through my divorce and 4,000.
Say again, sir, you broke?
No, you're hearing right. I got a bill for 34,000 euros. Okay?
Yeah.
So I was absolutely appalled. Now, it was dragged out a little bit, the proceedings before the divorce case, but the fact is my bill at this stage in writing was 2,500. I never heard another word about the bill. Divorce went through, got a bill for 34,000, and of course I wasn't going to pay that, so I went to the Law Society on my own. I didn't use a solicitor. I wrote to the Law Society. They said they'd look into it. Apparently they brought the two solicitors. There was two solicitors in the practice, brought them before them. And I ended up paying the solicitor 2,500 as he originally quoted me. Then he wanted a huge amount for the barrister's fee, but he had told me approximately 2,000 for the barrister. I never heard of any increase about that. And I ended up with the Bar Society, and I paid the barrister 4,000. So at the end of the day, I paid 6,500. And that was the end of it.
And a bill,
so I want to tell that lady, she's in exactly the same situation as I was in. And the priesthood was set because I set the priesthood. Maybe I didn't, maybe somebody else did. But if they treated me like that, they should be treating her the same.
Okay, you got it down from 34,000 to six, basically, six and a half.
Six and a half, exactly. Have all the papers to prove it.
Okay, well done, well done. Okay, that's Dave. Thanks, Andy. Where's James in? James is in the south. Go ahead, James.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. How much?
It was 8,200 for no divorce.
What do you mean, no divorce?
Well, in my sister's situation, it was difficult enough starting to get things in order. But then what happened was the solicitor threatened her with court if she didn't pay his demand, which was 14,000 plus VAT.
Wow.
So we met with him and we did a deal where we paid him 8,200, and when he completed the divorce, we'd pay him another 2,000. And when he got the 8,200, he was going over the garden wall.
Okay, did you take, don't under any circumstance I mentioned the solicitor, did you take him or her on? Did you go to the Law Society?
No.
Did you get another solicitor?
No, unfortunately my sister was suffering with a difficult medical condition following an accident as a young woman, and as a result of that, she just wasn't able to take it on. She was just under so much stress and the difficulty of it all, right, okay, and she wound up, as I said, paying that sort of money and losing the whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah, so just the Law Society are very generous when they tell that poor girl there that reducing it by 1,000 is acceptable. Yeah. I mean, that man had just on there before me. I think he's quite right. You have to stick to your guns, but you have to be mentally strong enough to take that on.
Okay.
That's a difficulty.
Yeah,
so that's it, Joe.
I know. Thanks, James. Appreciated. Kate,
sure.
Kate, good afternoon. How much did you pay, Kate, for your divorce?
Hello, how are you, Joe? I paid €30 for my divorce.
And how'd you manage that?
We just talked
about 34,000 and they didn't even get the divorce.
Yeah, I did it myself now. I have to tell you, I was a long time separated. There was no issues with property or with children or anything like that. So I was able to download all the papers, and then I went down two or four times perhaps. I parked the car in Arnott's car park and I got the Lewis down to Smithfield, and I produced my papers, got my ex-husband to sign that he wasn't going to contest anything, which he duly did. And then I went into the court on a due date, and I had the most amazing judge, and we had 5 or 10 minutes of fun. A very good experience, let's say. And I got my divorce, and it cost me, and I think I said to your colleague, at the time, which was over 4 years ago, I think I added up, including my transfers on the Lewis, was about between €30 and €35 altogether.
Well done.
So
it can
be done.
Okay.
It can be done. If people are not afraid, I was initially afraid, and my now husband that I'm married to encouraged me, because that's the way his divorce had been done. And he encouraged me to do it that way. And I did. As I say, we had nothing to fight over and no property
In fairness, Katrina earlier said no children, no contest.
But that's what made me write into you.
But Kate, were you at all intimidated going into the court on your own?
Absolutely not. Absolutely no way.
Okay.
I was smiling to myself, feeling sorry for couples who had solicitors and barristers, and there was terrible animosity between them in the waiting area. But no, absolutely no way. And I was totally on my own. I had nobody there with me because I chose to do that on my own. And when I eventually got into the courtroom on my own with just the recording person and the judge, it was a very light experience and
a very
nice experience.
Well done, Kate.
Yeah,
well
so
done.
I would encourage anybody, if there is no issues to do with their divorce,
and the children are over 18 or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I would encourage, because with respect to legal people, and I've been down that road in other areas, but it can be mind-boggling and very costly. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, Kate, thanks indeed. Appreciate it. Where is John Magner? John, good afternoon in Cork.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to all those horror stories, with the exception of Kate, who did it herself.
Yes.
For 30 quid. Go ahead, John.
Well, I think, Joe, we heard an awful lot in the past during the banking crisis about self, about light touch regulation. The Law Society, a self-regulatory body, and they are going to protect their members in this case, the solicitors or barristers or whatever the case may be, and they are paying a fee to the Law Society for to run the Law Society affairs. So who polices the policeman with that unfortunate woman that was on at the beginning of the programme? If he charged her 6,000 or built her for 6,000, yet was brought down to 5, which straight away was an admission that she was overcharged. And he agreed to it. So, I mean, what's going on with the Law Society? A couple of years ago, Joe, they...
So what you're saying is, if they discover overcharging, there should be some penalty for overcharging.
Yes, yes.
Not just a reduction in the amount they overcharged.
Yes, because there's no regulation with regard to overcharging if the Law Society are the ultimate policemen or the arbiters of an overcharging situation. And I think it's a lesson learned. Everybody should get it in writing from their legal representative what they're going to charge, and then everybody knows where they stand in relation to the financial outlay that they have to meet in the event of that situation coming to a conclusion.
Okay, but remember, Dave got his bill reduced from 34,000 to 6.5.
Yeah, well, I mean, what did they say about the solicitor that charged him the 34 on the first day?
Yeah, I know, John, I know.
And, I mean, the Law Society accepted that he was vehemently over...
They
sided with the customer in this case.
But that's an interesting point. If the Law Society say your bill should actually be less than what you were billed, and given this, if they say that, there should be some other penalty apart from the reduction to the proper amount.
Yeah, because, I mean, if any of us, we have to abide by the law, if somebody is overcharging, we do have regulations with regard to overcharging in this country. Why aren't the Law Society, who are supposed to be an upstanding organisation, imposing a penalty to the benefit of the customer when they do something wrong?
Okay, take your point. Okay, John, what business are you in yourself?
Farming.
Okay, have you been listening to our debate?
I have indeed, Joe, and I think I would agree with the majority of the people who are on that it should not be a gender situation. I mean, if somebody is good enough to take over the farm, irrespective of what they're male or female, that should be the case.
Stay there for a sec. Where's Martin Keogh, Martin and Carlo?
Yes, hello.
You're listening to the debate about daughters being excluded from the farm simply because they are daughters.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't be a complete reason, but it's basically, if they're interested, they should be included. And if they're not interested, they shouldn't be included. And that's basically it. There's people on there and they say they should have a right to a farm. They don't have a right to a farm. If they're not interested, they're not interested. And the same applies to males.
Yeah, but that's not what we're hearing, Martin. That's not what we're debating for the last week. What we're debating is that women, daughters being excluded from the will on the farm simply for no other reason, not merit, not relationship, not personality, not ability, not skill, not good manners, bad manners, simply being excluded because of their gender, because they are women, because they are daughters. That's the story we're hearing again and again and again.
Well, maybe this comes back to the issue then as well, that maybe it is a sexist thing as well. But you see, the problem is sometimes females give in a bit quicker if there's a problem on a farm as well. They turn around, like, I have three daughters and one son. The son is pretty young, and if there's a problem on a farm, then you would sometimes hear females saying, "What are you doing this for? What's all this for?" When you're going down the road, you can't turn around halfway and say, "We had enough of that." You know, everything's a long-term vision.
Yeah. Well, is the eldest? Can I ask, in the eldest in your case, in your family, a son or a daughter?
Oh, a daughter.
And would she get primogeniture? Would she get the farm? Go along that route, then. The eldest gets the farm.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, she doesn't have any interest in it. No. No interest in the bank.
Okay.
And minor interest would help out if you were stuck.
Okay. Will the daughter get anything? God forbid when you die or your wife dies.
Oh, yeah. They would, yeah.
Would they get a site for a house or?
Well, no, I wouldn't be into sites now. No, I wouldn't be into sites. There would be, you know, there'd be provision there for a house, I'd imagine, yeah. But you can't, when you build up something, it's very hard to break up a cake. It's breaking up a cake. If you break up anything at all, the cake is gone.
Yeah, but I know, but there's loads of them. With imagination, things can be done much fairer.
With imagination, it can, yeah. But it takes years to build up a family farm. It takes years to build
I know
up.
That, and it's very, very hard work. I know that. It's backbreaking, and it's non-stop as well. People don't appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that's it as well, but... You know, it's not that I was handed things on people.
I know people
in Dublin would say you were handed stuff.
Well, they don't.
I would have bought a lot more of my land than I was given it. You understand me, four times it. But you see, when you get things, when
but
you
your
get,
son, you your get, your son is getting it.
Well, that would be the plan anyway. That would be the plan. But he's very interested in the farm.
Okay.
And if
your daughter was interested in the farm, would she get it?
Same thing, yeah.
If the two of them were equally interested in the farm,
yeah, 50-50 then, yeah.
You'd split it. Okay, Martin Coe, thanks indeed. John Magner, Gurra Malgat as well. 51551 continues. Today's producer was Hugh Ormond, and Ray Darcy is next.